It's always good to hear you, Eli. Okay, as was mentioned, it's the book of Philemon tonight. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this in my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The word of the Lord.
You may be seated. As I said a little earlier, it is good to be with you this evening. My name's Rob Holland. I'm the pastor at the Bergen Church. If you're new here and or you've been here for part of the summer or started coming and you haven't seen me before, that's where I come from. And I have a long connection with Cowboy Trail Church, and it is always good to be back, and it is good to be a part of your service. Again, I'm going to be using this notebook, and I'll probably, I know some of you have become quite familiar with this, but I need this to make sure that the old mental train stays on the track, right? So lately it seems that I derail a lot, and I really don't, we don't have a whole lot of time, so I don't want to be mending that fence as we go along, so to speak. And I also want to, I'm going to be reading from this Bible, and as if you've noticed, my Bible is thinner. And I think I just keep losing pages along the way, but it's still a good friend, and the verse I need to read out of it tonight is in here, so that's a good thing. And just a reminder, though, that I will not take this to preach in Pincher Creek, because it could come back a lot thinner than before in one of those windstorms. And Eli, thank you again for, where is Eli? Okay, there you are, sorry. I don't have my glasses on, so sometimes it's a little hard to see, but now I see you back there. Anyway, thank you for sharing. And we had a little chuckle over here when you mentioned you're going to sing a song from camp. And they said, I wonder if she's going to sing the chicken song. But and I said, I don't think she'd go that low, but I'll just live in that place right now. But anyway, well, friends, it's good. Like I said, it's good to be here. Yesterday, I was in a completely different part of the world. I was out west of Rocky, out on the North Ram River. Oh, I shouldn't tell you where I was because I was having a good day of fishing. But One of the things yesterday, it's a great place to go because one is it just takes me out of cell service for a little while. And I was feeling a little unsettled. What should I do? Where should I go? I had a little bit of time. And so when I get a little unsettled and start to roam the house or pace, my wife just goes, go fishing. And I'm glad she did because it was really, really good. But when I got out there and started to fish, it was kind of one of those smoky, hazy days out there. But there were these clouds, and then you could hear thunder in the distance and a little bit of shower all day long, which was fine. It was just good to be out there. But as I went along, that thunderstorm got closer and closer and closer. And there was really no place to go, like no place to hide. And I just thought, well, I'll just keep walking and see what happens. And I thought, you know, as a bald guy, it's really kind of a disadvantage to be out there because if you hear anybody's stories, they will say, you know you're going to get struck by lightning when your hair stands on end. And I'm like, that's not really fair. And then as I walked a little farther, I thought, you know what, though? I have never heard of a bald person being struck by lightning. So maybe hair is the problem. So I thought, hey, it's golden. And so it was a good day of fishing and it was a lot of fun. But those rain showers reminded me of a piece of scripture. And I want you to consider this as you think of this. And again, thank you for reading Philemon. We will be getting there. But I want to start off in the book of Isaiah right now, just really quickly, because those rain showers reminded me of this little scripture from Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. And I just want to read this to you and then just reflect on it for a moment before we enter into the main part of the message this evening. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You know, isn't that a fantastic imagery that Isaiah gives to us, inspired, that talks about the rain and the snow coming to earth for purpose? And as it settles, and I was thinking of this, as it settles on the ground, it leads to sort of three things. First, it leads to growth. Growth of plants, growth of seeds, right? And they grow and they flourish. And we are witnessing, we've really witnessed that this summer as we've experienced a lot of, little more rain and, well, we haven't had any snow this summer, which, right on. But it's really brought a lot of growth. And the next thing it says, it'll produce seed, which is the seed of the barley and the harvest. And my wife and my kids have actually learned a lot about that this summer because there's a neighbor down the road a ways, and he grows seed barley, and it's a two-row seed barley. And he's hired people to walk through his fields and pluck the six-row seed barley. My wife and kids had no idea that there was a difference. And now they've been trained to discern the looks of that. And you got to get rid of the six row and you got to get rid of the wheat and of course any oats or stuff. And they see the value of that seed because there's a purpose to it. And then that seed brings bread for the hungry. It feeds people. And there's a whole thing going on here of nourishment and growth, and you realize it takes time. It just doesn't happen overnight, but it takes time. It takes a season. But at the end of that season, there's value, there's purpose, there's hope for the hungry, which is a good thing. And then it goes on to say that God's word is like that. It begins by saying it does not return empty. That God's word is there to do a work in the lives and the hearts of those who hear, and let it settle on them. It will produce fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. So that's a good thing about the word of God. Secondly, it accomplishes what God wants. You know, this is so good to go back into these verses and to read that, remembering that when we come together and we hear the word of God and we spend time with it, it starts to do a work in our lives, accomplishing what God wants. Now, what his word is going to do to me tonight is going to accomplish something different in my life than maybe your life. You will hear and be moved by something else. So the Spirit of God will touch you, speak to you, Are you ready and willing to listen and respond to what it says? And lastly, it will achieve his purposes. It will feed us and grow us. It will mature us. It will develop our faith. As I mentioned earlier in the summer, so probably late spring, I think it was here in July maybe, but this summer I've been focusing on this verse from Hebrews 12:2 that says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Remembering is that when we look to him, when we focus on him, when we stay connected to him, he does a work in our lives, bringing us faith and growing our faith, maturing our faith. So we become more and more like him in purpose and in personality and in value. And then we can walk in step with him, moving forward where he takes us to. So tonight, friends, as we gather under God's word, think of this. Allow his word to settle on us. Allow it to settle on us so that it can do a work in our lives. And I know we come from a lot of busy and hectic places. When I came in tonight, I was sitting there, but my mind was going to all these different places, and I was thinking of all the things I need to do, people I need to visit, things I need to do to care for people. We have one gal in our church, a young mom, she's got 2 or 3 months to live. She has cancer. And tomorrow I want to go have communion with her and her husband in the hospital. And I'm just thinking, I got to remember to do that because there's lots of other people to care for too. And my prayer is like, God, just settle on me here. This is good. This is a good place to be. So let's let that his word settle on us. Lord, I'm just going to pray real quick and just ask that you would be with us. That you would keep us from running about. That you would settle our minds and our hearts. And that we could hear from you, allowing your spirit to do a work in our lives. Anticipating that you want to have, you have something to accomplish in our lives tonight. You have a purpose for us being here. So be with us as we enter into your word, allowing it to enter into our lives. In your name, amen. Now, I just want to tell you, as I prepared for this, it was like it was going to be a gutter washer kind of a rain shower tonight. It was going to be just full on, but I'm like, I know we only have so much time. So you can be very thankful that we're just having a nice shower, hopefully. We won't be here too long. It won't be a gully washer, so to speak. But tonight we're going to read, we're entering into the book of Philemon. This is the shortest Bible series you're going to ever have. One night, one book, like that. Awesome, right? And the whole story surrounds a relationship with a runaway slave, Onesimus. Yeah, like everywhere else it's Mark and Mary, but Onesimus. And the slaves at that time in Rome were considered, they were currency. They were held in value, and we're not lifting up slavery, but that was a part of their culture. We're not condoning it, but it was a part of that culture, a part of their world. That's how countries were built on slaves, and they were considered like tools on 2 feet, as one author put it. And they were expected to serve, that they were assets with expectations that you would accomplish something for me, or I could trade you to get this asset. And they were moved. So they did not really have any status within the community. And tonight we're going to hear of one who ran and hid, trying to hide himself. He ran away. He stole from his owner, and then he ran away and tried to hide within the community in Rome. But it was in that moment where he was hiding and running away that he was discovered. And then he discovered life. More than just life on this earth, but life everlasting. And this story was written to us, we read about this, in a letter that was written by Paul to his friend Philemon, who was the owner of the slave. So here we have a Christian man or an evangelist, Paul, a pillar of faith and of the church, writing to Philemon, who was this man who owned, a Christian man who owned the slave. So this was part of his property, so to speak. Now, we don't know what kind of owner Philemon was, but there's a good chance he was a good slave owner. And we read that, and there's times we read through Scripture where it speaks to owners and it speaks to slaves, telling them how they should treat one another, how they should care for one another, how they should live in each other's presence. And I think there was probably a good relationship here, maybe. But whatever it was, Onesimus ran away. But Paul writes this letter, and it's a short, brief letter. But his heart felt, he says it three times, my heart pours out as I write this letter. I have a heart for Onesimus. I have a heart for you. And my heart pours out. This is a guttural, deep affection type letter written. And it's more than just one man writing to another man, but there's a deep sense and idea of who Jesus is and what he's done for us and continues to do for us. In some ways, one author said, compared to other letters, Paul, this is like a postcard. Now, I remember one postcard I got from a friend who traveled all the way to Australia. He traveled all the way to Australia. This is a long time ago when you kind of received mail, right? And he sent me a postcard. And I thought, great, it's a postcard. I wonder what things are going. And this is all it said on that postcard. The weather is here. Wish you were beautiful. That's it. That's it. Money. Anyway, this is more than that kind of postcard. This is good. Anyway, I want to bring out three things, and there's so much in here, folks, and I encourage you to take time to read this and just listen. Maybe use tonight's little tidbits we learned tonight and read it with new eyes and a new heart and allow God to speak to you in this and reveal himself to you and do a work in our lives. But here's the first thing that I want us to think about. We all have a runaway story. You see, we at one time were all runaways. We were outside of God's kingdom. And for a lot of us, we ran away. Now, it might not look like we were trying to hide, but we get busy doing our stuff where we want to be in charge of our lives. Where we want to be in charge of what we do and who we are. And we're trying to build our character, our story. And really, the harder we work at that, the less time we have for God and anything that he might give us. And really, it becomes a situation where we are considered runaways. But here's what happens. In the midst of our running away, we are called by Jesus, discovered by Jesus. He sees us. He knows us. His desire is that we would quit running, that we would stop and look to him and enter into relationship with him. Now, we don't know what happened between Onesimus and Paul, but we do know that Paul says in this letter, I am the father of his faith. So there's a good chance. I do not know how they came in contact with each other. Can you imagine a guy trying to run away and hide, and then he not only runs into somebody in Rome, but it's Paul, of all the people. Or maybe he runs into somebody. Remember in Philippians it talked about, I'm in chains, but here's the good news. People from the guard are spreading out into the world, sharing the word and love of Jesus Christ to those around them. The word is not dead. So I praise God for the chains. And maybe it was one of them that led Onesimus or said, Onesimus, you need to come see Paul because he knows your boss. I don't know. We don't know that story, but we know that something stopped Onesimus and directed him to Paul, and they discovered Jesus. And out of that, we learn something about Onesimus. He goes from, as he says later in this letter, he says, you once knew him. He was really considered useless. But now he has value and purpose because of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I have a hard time letting him go. He's that valuable to me. We're that close. Maybe Onesimus understood the gospel because he recognized that Paul was in bondage as well. But his true nature was he was a slave to Jesus, one who gave himself to Jesus so that Jesus could do a work through his life. I don't know. But we all have that runaway story. We need to remember that. We need to remember the work that Jesus has done in our lives. That we were once lost, but now are found. We were once useless, but now have value and purpose. I was so overwhelmed. I've been so overwhelmed by just even preparing for tonight. As I've read this over and over, there's this heaviness, but yet there's this beautiful love of God. I'm in His grace, and we are in there. If you're here tonight and you find yourself running, I encourage you to stop and spend time looking to Jesus. Maybe you need to talk to somebody tonight. If you do, find one of the leaders, find a friend, talk to me. But friends, quit running and discover life. And for those of you that have found Jesus, have been known by Him, are valued by Him, continue to pray for the runaways, so to speak, in your lives. The ones that don't know Jesus. They need our presence. They need our for us to advocate for them, to appeal on their behalf. And trust, and just trust Jesus in that, but talk to them, love them, care for them. The second thing we get tonight was this whole thing of this, as we go through this, is it's Paul is an advocate. He steps up in front of his friend Philemon and says, I am going to be an advocate for Onesimus. Now, why would he do something like that? Well, in the beginning, he starts by appealing to Onesimus, or appealing to Philemon, and says, man, you are an awesome guy. Your faith is awesome. The way that you are kind and loving and caring is awesome. You are living out Christ in your community, amongst believers and non-believers alike. You are upholding the gospel. You're living it. You're embracing it. And then he says, but now I want you to take Onesimus back. We're going to get that in a second. But before he does, he says, but Onesimus, I'm going to stand up for him. I want you to know how valuable he is now, that he is a different person. And that difference is because of Jesus Christ. Now, this is something we all need to remember. We all have an advocate in our life, Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus says when he comes to the Father. This person I bring before you is here because of the blood of the cross. Their debts are on me. Their marks are on me. They are here under my forgiveness. What a great thing our advocate does for us. Something I learned today as I listened and heard and read about what it meant to be a slave in this culture. But if you were a runaway slave and then you got caught and returned to your owner, they often would brand an F on your forehead. Fugitive. One that runs away. The mark of running away. One commentary said, you know, if God would do that, he said, my face would be so marked that I would be disformed and disfigured from my disobedience. But he said, that is what Jesus does for us. I take their marks. I take those brands of fugitivism, of running away, of disobedience, and I take them on myself. And this is how they show up, Lord. They show up on my hands, Father, in the marks of nails. They show up on my side as a sword. They show up on my feet as nail marks as well. I take their disfigurement upon me. I advocate for them. If they owe you anything, Paul says this to Philemon, if he owes you anything, if he's stolen from you, put it on my account. I am good for it. Jesus stands in front of the Father. If they owe you anything, put it on my account. They do not owe you a drop of blood because of me. Isn't that an amazing thing to take in? The last thing, and sometimes I think this might be the most difficult for us, but is that we are called to reconciliation. As I said earlier, Paul begins this reconciliation talk by saying to Philemon, you live out your faith. You have this faith. Your character demonstrates that you were a follower of Jesus. You have a love for God's people. And then he goes on to say, and I pray it will continue, and that your kindness refreshes the heart of God's people. Paul is not just buttering this guy up. He's laying out his character for him. He's getting him ready for the big ask, yes. But the ask doesn't come out of, I'm going to tell you to do this. As he says, I don't want to tell you to do this, but I'm going to appeal to you because of this is how you live your life. This is how your heart moves. May it continue to move, and may you continue to act in this way. And then he says, here's Onesimus. I found him, and he's become a follower of Jesus. He was once just nothing. He was useless. And now he's become so valuable, it's actually hard for me to give him back to you. But I know he must go back. He must come and make restitution. He must come and be a part of reconciliation. You too need to talk. You need to meet up together. So here he is, Philemon. Take him, care for him, restore him. Even more, I want you to live in unity in Christ. Again, put his debts on my account. He goes on to say, I could order you, but rather I'm going to appeal to your faithful living. Friends, we are called to be that kind of people. And this is the ask. This is the appeal from Paul to us. We don't do it because we've got to. We do it because of what has been given to us. We are a forgiven people. We are a redeemed people. We are restored people. We are a renewed people. And now we need to be reconciled. This is what it's always talking about, is become unified in Christ. To be reconciled. This is why Paul says in his letters, it doesn't matter whether you're a slave or you're an owner or you're high and mighty or the lowliest of low. In Christ, you are known by God. Through Christ, you have value. Through Christ, you are children of God. Through Christ, you are one, and he will build us into his people, his church. And more than that, we become the priesthood of this church, living out faith that God is building in us. living out the hope. And this is the evidence to the world. How do they love one another? One commentary said today, they said, this is the hardest thing. Because he said, if you mention certain names to me, the hair on my head would stand up. And I thought, there we go with the hair on your head again. But I think we all understand what's saying. It's hard. It's hard. Sometimes it's easy to reconcile to people and forgive them. But there's others in our lives that are hard to reconcile with. I think of the story of Corrie Ten Boom as she preached in a little church after World War II, and after the service, this man comes up to her and he introduces himself. And he says, but isn't it good that we are a God of forgiveness? And then she sees, knows where she saw him. He was a guard at the concentration camp that were killing her family and her friends. And he was a part of that. And he held out her hand in reconciliation through Christ. And for her, it was so hard. She did not want to shake his hand. He had caused so much pain and death, evil. And here he was, a follower of Jesus. But at that moment, she was moved to shake his hand, not by her will, but by the will of God. Speaking out not only to that little church, but to the world, that God brings healing, God brings reconciliation, God brings hope. So friends, those are the things that we need to think about as we read through this book, and there's so much more. But let's keep praying for one another, that this word would settle on us and move us, that would grow us, that it wouldn't come back empty, but we would be nourished by it, challenged by it, grown by it. Our faith maturing. May this word feed us, and may it bring glory to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your advocacy. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you that you see us as beautiful. Before we even stopped running, you loved us. Be with us. Help us through these moments. Help us through reconciliation. But may we remember how you have done the work of reconciliation with the Father through your advocacy and love. In your name, amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, I believe. But as we do, I'm going to introduce this song, 217, Oh How I Love Jesus. And I thought, what an appropriate song to end the evening on as we consider what he has done for us.